Good morning.
Good morning.
I had heard a different way. It was me shack, their shack, and a bungalow. You know, this is the first Sunday I got to preach in the new year that's ever happened to me. So because of that, my mind just kind of wandered around. I've been thinking about what to say. This morning about 5 o'clock, I woke up. My mind felt like the TV was on, the tape recorder was on, the radio was on, and my mind was just full of ideas and stuff. So I got up, and before my wife got up this morning, I had my sermon wrote this morning. Sometimes the Lord gives you ideas that you never thought about. So this morning, we're going to go through a time travel. So as you hang on, we're going to go through a long ways, and it's going to be an interesting journey. This morning, as I got up last night, I had a chance to go over to my brother's. And there up on the shelf, said a toy, TruScale John Deere 4020 tractor in pristine condition with a TruScale combine on the back of pull type. Pristine, sitting up on the shelf. And it come back to my mind the night that I was laying in bed. My dad came over and woke me up and said, we got to get dressed. And my brother and my sister and me got dressed. My mom and him got in an old 48 Chevrolet car. And we got in the car and we rode to Frederick. And the old Frederick Hospital used to have a set of long steps. I remember mom getting out of the car with his old beat-up suitcase. Up the steps she went in a hurry. And I remember the doors opening up, she going in. Next, we went home that night. And I remember going in the house, taking my shoes off, and I laid there in the bed and went to sleep. Next morning, there was Grandma. My uncle had brought her over, and she said to me, you have a brother. And it's like, wow, you know. And I remember him being coming home and all, and he was kind of behind because I had another brother, I had a sister, and I had my Albert, which was his name, and he'd come along behind. So when us boys got into older things, he kind of run along with us. And it wasn't long after he got out of school, he got married at age 17. And because he gave me all of his toys, he thought he wouldn't need them anymore. So as the years passed on, he had a daughter. And after that, one day he come up to me and he had a grandson. And he said he wanted 2 pieces to give to his grandson. So I give him back this tractor and this combine. But with that thought in mind, it's the things you remember, the things that shape your fortune, the things that you remember of a past, of a farming background. But because of that, let's go on back a little further then. Nebuchadnezzar. The name was a powerful name when Babylon was in power. But because of that, the king said to Nebuchadnezzar, and the Lord delivered the king of Judah in his hands. Why? Israel had sinned. It ain't nothing new. If you look at the history, he was down in Egypt because he was sinned. And other times they had sinned. Well, now Israel had sinned again. And because of that, because of that, the Lord God delivered them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. And because of that, we talk about the things that Nebuchadnezzar learned. You know, sometimes in our lifetime, we see things, but just sometimes we don't understand, or that we don't fully understand. Because you see, Nebuchadnezzar was a king, and they had other gods, many gods back then. And he had never seen the work of the gods before until the God of Israel showed up. Because that, it changed his life too. In the very beginning, it talks about the king's dream. The king had a powerful dream that scared him. So when he called the satraps, he enticed the magicians, the astrologers in, he said to them, he said, just to let you know, I'm not going to tell you what this dream is. If you're as powerful as what you say you are, you all know what it is automatically. But they said to him, he said, how are we supposed to know what this dream is unless you tell us? So finally, Daniel lost his patience with him and said, tell you what, if you can't tell me what this dream is, I'm just going to wipe you all out. You're all fakes. You're all liars. You've just been using me for your position. You're not no powerful than this stone out here. Because of that, I'm just going to have you all wiped off. So finally, when Daniel heard about this, he went before the guards and said, look, give me 24 hours and I'll have you what you need to know. So he took his friends, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and they went and had a prayer meeting. Because of that, in the middle of the prayer meeting, Daniel got his answer. And he went back to him. He said, I have the answer. Take me to your king. Because of that, the king got his answer. And because of that, he bowed down and said that because of that, he told him, he said, before Daniel, surely your God is God. He was amazed because only Daniel's God could give him the answer. Because of that, he started to know who Daniel's God was. And he'd become a powerful person because of it. But little Paul read about the fiery furnace. And it was an idea that they had had an idol. Now get this. It was 9 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and it was gold. Can you imagine that nowadays? It was wider than a sheet of plywood, which is 8 foot long, and it was 10 foot short of 100 foot. Now, we don't know what shape it was, but it was gold. Can you imagine the gold it took to cover that? And he told him, he said, that if you bow before this idol, I'll let you live. So when they started the flute and they blowed the horn and beat the drums, these three people did not bow down. And the king said, what's wrong? Didn't you get the idea of what I'm telling you? But he said, yes, we did. But just to let you know that we will not worship your God. If our God delivers, it's fine. If he don't and we die, we still don't care, because we know that this God is the God of Israel, and he also rules the world. And because of that, he got mad. He got very mad. Because of that, he had the fire hotter than before, the sacrifice altar hotter than it was before, and the people that threw these three people in died from the fire. And of course, we all know what happened. They stood around in there like it was midsummer day and talked to this angel or whoever it was while he was in there. And of course, the king was in shock. How often do you see that? What about Moses? How often did he see a bush burn, but yet it never consumed it? How many times did the Israelites ever walk through an ocean and see a water up on each side and yet didn't fall down on them? The king was in shock because he told him, he said, come out. And when they come out, they didn't smell like fire. They wasn't burnt. And he also said, like he said, is that if anybody talks against the God of these three people, they will be killed, their houses will be knocked into ruins, and this will be their punishment for talking against the God of Israel. Wow, he's really standing up for them. But then comes the last punishment. Well, not so much punishment. I think we all backslide, forget where we come from, forget about things God's done for us, the miracles and other things. Because of that, he has one more dream. He has a dream that he's laying in bed in the middle of the night. He dreams a tree, a lovely tree, a tall tree that can be seen from all over the earth. Has lovely leaves and fruit on it, and the animals lay beneath of it, and it gives shade to these animals, and the grass grows around it, and everything couldn't be any better. But then the angel of the Lord comes down and says, cut this tree all flesh to the ground. Because of that, the animals run off, the tree is taken away, and the stump is there, and they cover it with a piece of sheet metal or tin casting, whatever you want to call it, so the tree can't come back. So then, after 7 years, he says, let the tree loose, and it comes back. Well, you see, Daniel walks in there, and he tells him his story. Well, Daniel's walking around like, he's worried. He knows what it means, but he hates to tell the king. It's kind of like years ago during the Second World War. If you see an army car drive up in front of your house, that usually meant that you lost somebody in the war. Or say you get a telegram. Most times telegrams are bad news. So here's Daniel. He don't want to tell him, but the king can see that he's really wondering what to say. And he's standing there thinking, well, can this actually be about this king? Because the king has done a lot of good things. But then the king says, don't let it bother you. Tell me. So he tells me, he says, about this tree. But this tree is you. I'll put it to you this way. Daniel was perplexed and terrified. He told me, he said, renounce your sins. Do what is right. Calm the oppressed, and your prosperity will continue. But if you don't, this is what's going to happen to you. Why? Because he had forgotten about the God of Israel, going back to worshiping idols, forgot about what all God had done. God had made him a powerful nation to take over Judah. And the reason that was is because Judah was still kept in one little nation to continue through the histories, so that eventually Jesus would be born. So he was positioned by God to do this. And because of that, as long as he stayed in God's blessings, he would continue to grow, be a powerful nation. But in the times and years when things got good, he forgot. So one night he's walking on the balcony, and he looks out. I mean, you know what it's like. You step out on your front step, you look out across the valley, how beautiful it is. And he stepped up on the balcony. It was late in the evening. The fires were out, and I had a party out there. People, animals going down the street. Far as I could see, a whole town. And he thinks to himself, he don't say anything, he thinks it. Says, how great is this town that I have built? Bang. The angel comes to him and says, because you've forgotten God, you're going to have 7 years. You're going to run out in the wild like a wild animal. Sure enough, he changed. That quit to a wild animal. They run him out. Spent 7 years wilderness. Long hair, sunburned. Run around on his four legs. Couldn't even stand upright. Ate the grass of the fields. Tell me that ain't a punishment. So finally, after 7 years, I think this was what the idea was. He got his right mind. He looked up the stars. And then he realized, this is what he said. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward the heavens, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High God. I honor and glorify him who lives forever. His dominion is eternal. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases, the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? Wow. But what's funny is that that's the end. After this, it talks about his son. So I've always wondered, did he always remember his son, Jesus? Or maybe that because what happened, it was in the lineage of Jesus that nation, Judah, be kept together. But after that, it makes you wonder, as he was an old man, I'm sure that he remembered the God of Judah, the God of Israel, his whole life after that. And because of that, he probably uplifted it and kept it high in his name. But if it can change, if he can forget about God, is it that easy for us to do it? Sure it is. As I look back across a couple things, I remember some of the things me and little Paul used to do. And we always talked about writing a book about these things. And now that I look back across it, it would probably been a good comedy, wouldn't it? But you know, though, I'm sure there's a lot of times in our lives that we have forgotten God. I know that in the Bible it talks about one of the disciples saying that of all the sinners, I'm the worst. And I'm sure there's times I feel that way too, and we all do. Why? Because it's so easy to forget about God. We probably live in one of the best civilizations in the world, and it's not hard to forget about what God has done for us. You know, it's hard to believe, but this year I'll turn 60. And because of that, my high school reunion had a 60th birthday party for us. And I was surprised how many people are gone. I lost my first friend when two months before graduation. Him and his girlfriend were out walking along the road. And when he went to get out of the way, he slipped and fell in front of it and got killed. Less than 6 months ago, one of my other buddies that I graduated with, I worked at the county, had sugar diabetes real bad. And he was out riding his motorcycle, and it got the best of him, and unconsciously he ran the side of a wall on a motorcycle. So it just goes to show, we don't know how long we have. We might go tomorrow. We might live another 100 years. Who knows? My mom's 93. My loved ones have a long heritage of living. But we also have a long lineage of the church, too. We remember where we come from, the struggles and trials that we had. You know, God sends people in our lives, too, as we travel this path. I know that many years ago, when I first started working for the county, I got a nail up in my foot. And I met a girl, and I worked on Mars for her. And I remember one night it got so sore and infected I couldn't stand it. My mom didn't drive it dark anymore. She come and got me. I told her the whole story. When we got to the hospital, she said, where's the head doctor? She flew into him like a chainsaw. I've never seen a woman cuss and swear and holler so much in my life. Come to find out that she was my workman's comp representative. She wanted to know what was going on, why this was happening. And that before I knew it, I was asleep. Next morning, the nurse came in after I woke up and said, "You had a hard time." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "You almost lost your foot." I said, "Why?" "Well, I had a bone infection. If it had gone much longer, they'd have to amputate my whole foot in order to save me because the infection was that bad. But through the will of God, I was able to save it because of her, because she came in and knew what to do." You know that lady, I haven't seen that lady for almost 3 years now. And it wasn't long after that she was out of my life. So you see, God do send people in our lives to help us in times, but also those that strengthen us. You know, when I first got religion, it wasn't in a church. I got my religion in a barn. I remember my mom saying to me that, "You know, you're of an age, y'all go up in front of the church." She didn't say, "I need to give my life." She said, "You need to go up in front." So I walked up in front of the church, and we had baptism. It was just my minister and my family, and that's all that was there. And we went home like, "Is this it? Is this all there is to it?" So anyhow, a couple years later, I met a guy, and he, I don't know if you know what a DHIA milk tester is or not, but we started talking about that, and he led me to Christ in that barn that night. So it just goes to show, you never know who you're going to meet or what your life is going to be like. You know, I couldn't be up here without Jesus in my life. I couldn't do these things. At times, I have felt him in my life. I felt him being there, telling me things to say. But yet, I consider myself a sinner. I'm not perfect. Sometimes I wonder if I'm fit for heaven. But yet, with God's Son, all things are possible. A couple weeks ago, they hired a new kid. You know how some of these new kids are? They think they got the world by the hand. Well, he thought he had me by the neck. So anyhow, we didn't get along. We did not get along at all. We just constantly each other's throat. Paul's constantly taking us in there, telling us we got to get along or else something's going to change. One day, I mowed grass along the road, and I got stuck. They sent him out to pull me out. He pulled me out, sat in the truck while I scraped the mud off the road. And I said, "Well, you should get out here and help me." He said, "Why?" He said, "God told you so." So he got out and helped me, scraped the road off, got back in the truck. I heard a voice tell me, say, "Thank him." I thought, "What?" And then the next time it said, "Now!" That scared me. It almost made me jump out of the truck when I heard it. He didn't hear it, but I did. Sometimes the Lord tells us these things. So I looked over at him. I said, "Thank you for helping me. If it wouldn't have been for the seed, his mouth would have hit the floor." That's how he felt. Apparently nobody had ever thanked him for anything. And after that, the boss come up to me and said, "What happened?" "Though he's changed. He gets along better with his workers. Things are getting along better now. You're not fighting. What happened?" Could I tell him? Would he understand? I don't know. I didn't tell him. See, I don't know if he would have understood. Maybe one day I will tell him. But who knows? But anyhow, the power is around us. They affect our life now. So here we are, back here at church, this very moment. My lesson is about over. But I have one last thought for you. And it's the future. It's coming. We carry a spare tire in our car, but some of us never get it out. Some of us carry a flashlight, but yet we never use it. Some of us carry flares, and they get wet and ruined and throw it out in the back. A couple years ago, I heard this story. I thought it was kind of neat, but it talks about the things to come. There was an old elderly woman who went to the nurse, to the funeral director, to get her lines, her stuff laid out for her funeral. Talked about what kind of casket, what kind of funeral, how many people. So finally, in the end, he looked there and said, "Any other things you want to talk about?" She said, "Yes." And she looked him right square in the face and said, "When I die, I want you to put a fork in my hand." He goes, "You do what?" Says, "Yes. Let me tell you my history. My history is this: I'm a Southern Baptist, and we would always have a big church service on Sunday, and then we would have a." It was a small church, and they would put the food inside, and a lot of the young people would go out and sit on the grass. Some of the older people would take tables out, and they would sit and talk and have a wonderful time, and then they would have dessert after a while. So most of the times it was Jell-O or pudding or something like that. And then once in a while, a guy would come out and say and announce and loud that everybody could hear. "Everybody save your fork. We've got something special coming. It might be cake. It might be pie. Who knows? But there's something special coming. So keep your fork." This woman, he wanted this woman that when she died, they asked, why has she got a fork in her hand? Because she's expecting something great to happen. It probably did for her. Let me ask you this. Will it happen for us? I believe it will. I hope for every last one of you that when we meet at the Lord's table, that we're all going to look at each other. Not sure if some of us are going to be changed. I don't know how it's going to be. If it's going to be spiritual, we're going to have bodies. I don't know. But you know what? The Lord has promised these things. And I'm sure whatever happens, it's going to be the best thing that ever happened to me. So always remember, keep your fork. Amen. Amen.